Hello and welcome to the Christmas Day edition of Music Talks. If you are listening to this live as on Christmas Day, then a very happy Christmas. And if you're listening after the event, I hope you had a great one. My subject today is my favourite Christmas single. And like most of the ideas I've had around this podcast in the last 6 months, what I've realised is as soon as I have one idea, it leads to another because there is a real story to be told about the history, about the Christmas single and how it's evolved and changed. And I think for me, at least, sadly sort of died away really. But today I'm just going to focus on some of the highlights. And if I look at it, I guess there's three highlights for me when I think of Christmas singles. One is Phil Spector's Christmas album. It will be out today. It was out yesterday. I have it on vinyl. Ignore the Christmas bit. I just think it's a work of massive talent and genius, and it's a shame he was such a troubled man. But if anybody hasn't got that, then just go and treat yourself. There's not a dud track on it, and it's just brilliant. There was then the 70s, and my choice, I might as well say, is from that era. It's Happy Christmas, War Is Over, and by John and Yoko. It came out in 1971, and I think in many ways ushered in a sort of golden age of Christmas singles. And remember, a golden age was needed because this track actually didn't make number one in 1971. It was beaten off by the remarkably questionable and dodgy Benny Hill doing Ernie the Fastest Milkman in the West. But the good news is around about 1973, things really took off. And you had Slade, Merry Christmas Everyone, a song that gets played every year, and I'm one of the people that actually it never tires for me. 74 was Mudd, Lonely This Christmas. We then go on to, by the way, also in 73, Elton came up with Step Into Christmas. You also had another of my favourites, which was I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, which was Roy Wood and Wizard. And again, if people aren't familiar with the name Roy Wood, one, he was in a group called The Move, with a bunch of other people from Birmingham who then became, and it was his idea, ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra. Although in typical eccentric Roy Wood style, he did one album and then disappeared and left the rest of the guys to become world famous and make loads of money. And then 75, I Believe in Father Christmas by Greg Lake. Interestingly, actually a song supposed to be about a sort of anti-consumerism song about Christmas with lyrics written by Pete Sinfield, which the musos out there will recognise was the lyricist in King Crimson. So I'm in danger already of going into doing that Christmas single thing. I will finish with the 70s. 76 was When a Child is Born, and in between that, 75, you had a little thing called Bohemian Rhapsody. So not really a Christmas single, but it did stay number one for 9 weeks. And unfortunately, in 1977, that nine-week feat was emulated again because the genius that is Paul McCartney managed to be number one for 9 weeks with Mull of Bloody Kintyre, which I detest and my wife loves. So there you go. And then the final sort of golden period, I think, was the 80s. And I've said before on Music Talks that I have in my head the 80s wasn't a great decade for music. But every time I look at it, the sort of facts seem to contradict me. So you had, obviously, Band Aid in 1984. But also, that was the same year that Wham came out with Last Christmas. Going back to Queen, you also had Thank God It's Christmas by Queen in 84, so that was a great year. In 86, you've got Driving Home for Christmas by Chris Rea, which is one of those sort of sleeper classics that came up. You've then got, in 87, the most popular Christmas song in the 21st century, which is Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues. And I'll leave you to take what you will from the fact that the most popular Christmas song is about dysfunctional, drunken, abusive relationship. And then you had God Bless Him, Cliff Richard with Mistletoe and Wine in 88, and also Merry Christmas Everyone's Shakin' Stephen. So why did I choose John and Yoko? A number of reasons. I mean, this is probably, well, certainly the first Christmas single I bought. It's probably one of the first records I ever bought because it was 1971 and I'd bought my first albums, I think, in September of that year. It came out on green plastic, which was really, really cool and unusual at the time. And I did get a green plastic version. And I'm sad to say that I have no idea where it is. Even more annoyingly for me, I actually have no idea where I lost it. It's not one of those, oh, I lent it to so-and-so and the never gave it me back. It just disappeared at some point. But also, to be serious for a moment, I think it always, the song, one, always plugged into something in me, and two, and again, I've talked about this, it's one of those songs that sort of lived with me and grown and changed. Because I look at Christmas, obviously there's a lot of joy and celebration, and I enjoy that, but for me, it's always had a slight sort of undercurrent of melancholy. And I think some of that, you know, is, it's a time of reflection. It's the end of the year, you're looking back, but there's the start of a new year, so you've got this sort of yin and yang going on. Somebody sent me a beautiful post the other day about the winter solstice and the fact that, you know, we spend all our time overstimulating ourselves around Christmas, when actually if you go back and look at sort of history and us as beings, then winter should be a time of hibernation and slowing down and all of those things. So I don't know if anything in there sort of has that, you know. I guess that's where some of the melancholy comes from. Also, I think in terms of upbringing, my dad was Scottish but living in England, so Christmas was always good, but New Year was always a sort of time of sadness, because he'd either be in England with my mum and me and my brothers, but sad that he wasn't in Scotland with his family, or he'd have travelled to Scotland, typically on his own because we couldn't all afford to go, and be upset that he wasn't with his wife and his sons back in England. And then the final one that occurred to me recently when I was thinking about this was my mum, God bless her. She was unremitting in making sure and looking for opportunities to remind me and my two brothers that there were a lot of people and children in the world who are a lot worse off than us. And I'm sure her motivation was to generate gratitude, but in fact, all it ever did was make me feel really sad for all of these poor, and I shouldn't laugh, but for all of these poor children around the world. So in amongst all of that, I guess, you know, Happy Christmas, War Is Over, really plugged into that. And if you look at the first four lines, and there's two ways of hearing those lines, you know, there is a, so this is Christmas, and what have you done? Yeah, it's another year over, and a new one just begun. Or you can hear it as I do, which is, there's a very stony one, and in my head, you know, there's this video, there's a very stony-faced Yoko, and there's a snarling John going, so this is Christmas, what have you done? Yeah, another year over, yeah, the new one just begun. So I guess if there was ever going to be a Scouse self-care manual, I just think it would potentially be the first four lines that are in there. And then the final thing is, I said this song sort of changed and grew with me, but I think it was 2005, somebody out there may correct me, but I was on a training course, Microsoft training course. We were staying at the Hilton in London, Terminal 4, Heathrow Airport. It was a rock and roll lifestyle in Microsoft. And we sat in the foyer, we've had a few drinks. There was a lady called Alison Grant there, who I met again recently. There was a gentleman called St. John Williams, a couple of other guys. And Alison had taken it upon herself to be having a little sing-song, which in the foyer of the Hilton, it's got strange acoustics, so that was interesting. And because of all of that, I suddenly came up with the idea that, and with the team had had a great year, that we should do a Christmas single. And unlike most Christmas ideas, we actually made it happen. And I managed to hire a recording studio in Soho, just behind our offices, for a few hours. We all went in and we did a version of this song called Happy Christmas, We're Over Quota. And we got the Microsoft video crew free of charge to come and video us. And we then went out for dinner that night. And, you know, in the restaurant, they played our Christmas single. And then we posted the video. It was early days of the internet, and it was great. I should point out that musically, it was absolutely awful. But it was great fun. Sadly, a bit like the green plastic single, I do not have a copy of that video. It's in the digital ether somewhere. It may turn up on a hard drive one day. I hope so. It would be fantastic, and I suspect funny and embarrassing to see. But great memories. So for all of those reasons, this is my favourite Christmas single. I'm going to break my normal habit of only playing a clip and play the whole thing. If the Lennon Estate do me for copyright infringement, then so be it. And for the eagle-eared amongst you, you may notice there's a slight change at the start. Happy Christmas again, and I'll speak to you soon. Happy Christmas, Laura.
Happy Christmas, dearie.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, just begun. And so this is Christmas.
So happy.